Now to 1 Kings and chapter 22, page 419 in your Scofield Bible. First Kings chapter 22, we'll read verse 31 together, and then we'll read responsibly some verses to follow that. I'll direct you. Let's read verse 31. Ready? But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. We'll now read verses 34 through 38, and we'll read those verses responsively. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness, whereof he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own country. So the king died, and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And let's read the 38th verse together also. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor, according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Let's pray. We're thankful, Lord, so very thankful for our church and for the opportunities that are available to us. So many things, so many good things that are helpful to our Christian growth. Help us to take advantage of that which we have right now in this service. Help us to be attentive, give our hearts and our minds over to that which is preached. There's something to learn here. There's something to apply to our lives. Help us not to miss it. Bless our preacher. Give him that which he needs from thee tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
That'll do till I can get my voice back. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I like a preacher that preaches with freedom, and I like a singer that sings with freedom. And that's wonderful. I'm going to read for you, without your turning to it, one verse that to me is one of the most amazing verses in the Old Testament. We read it a while ago, but I'm afraid it'd be easy for us just to slide over what it says. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, now get this statement, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. What he's saying here is, we're in a battle with Israel. Don't shoot the privates or the corporals or the sergeants or the lieutenants. Just shoot at the king. That's all. I want to speak tonight on the subject, shoot only at the king. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. That's really all I want to be. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing, and I pray that tragedy shall be averted in the lives of a lot of people tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen carefully as I lay the foundation for the sermon. Ahab was the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was the one who was to rule over Judah. Israel being the northern kingdom and Judah being the southern kingdom after Israel had been divided in the two kingdoms. King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings 22:5, He said, what? Know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead desires, and we be still and take it not? What he was saying is this, King Ahab. By the way, Ramoth in Gilead was a high place, a strategic place, much like the Alsace-Lorraine in Europe. It was a strategic place, coveted place, and it was an important place for spies and for lookouts and so forth, and the nations wanted Ramoth and Gilead. So Syria, by the way, it bounced back and forth. Israel would have it for a while, then Syria would fight for it and get it, and then Israel would fight for it and get it. And there's a constant battle over this place called Ramoth and Gilead. Ahab said one time to Jehoshaphat, he said, now, the northern kingdom is not strong enough to take Ramoth and Gilead back from the Syrians, and neither is your southern kingdom strong enough to take Ramoth and Gilead back from the Syrians. But if we join together, if Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom, can join together, we're strong enough to take Ramoth and Gilead back, that strategic spot. So they join together, both the north and the south, and when the north and the south get together in any country, it's an amazing thing. But so Abraham Lincoln and Robert E. Lee got together, and they fought for Ramoth and Gilead. That leads us tonight to our text. The Bible says in my text that the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains. And I'll put it in the vernacular. He said, don't shoot at anybody except the king. Shoot only at the king. What he said was, if we can get the king, we'll win the battle. So shoot at the king. Such is the main tactic of Satan. In Zechariah, that famous passage, in wake that fellow there, lean up against there. We're having preaching here, son. I expect everybody to hear me. This is not a hey, put your head up. It's not a slumber party. This is preaching time. Listen to me now. So, you know, I sort of have an idea that everybody needs what's going on here. And I want you to hear me. That's why I'm up here. Good night. I'm 71 years old. I don't know how long I'll be up here. So sit up and listen to me while you got this good-looking face before you. Take advantage of it. In Zechariah 13:7, we have that amazing scripture. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's what the king of Syria was saying. He's saying, if we can get the king, Ahab, we'll win the battle. Now, the truth is, they did, as you read a while ago. They did get the king, and the king was killed in the battle. Such is the case, such are the tactics of Satan. For example, he shoots at the King of Kings. He today is fighting, and through his false Bibles and through false birth teachers, he's shooting at the King of Kings. He shoots at his word. He shoots at his virgin birth. He shoots at his sinless life. He shoots at his vicarious death. And I make it very, very plain. I don't care if you've got reverend beside your name and wear a reverend's garb and clerical collar. If you don't believe the virgin birth, you're going to split hell wide open one of these days. If you don't believe in the sinless life of Jesus Christ and the vicarious death and the bodily resurrection, you better get you some asbestos clothing, because you're going to be in a warm climate after a while. The devil is after the king. That's why he's putting all these false Bibles out. He's after the king, and that's what these Bibles are doing. They're shooting at the virgin birth and the deity of our Savior. They're leaving the word begotten from John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Leave the word begotten. That takes the virgin birth out. And so they're shooting at the king. And if he can bring the king down, we have no salvation. If the devil can bring the king down, we have no hope. If the devil can bring the king down, we have no heaven. And we have no Bible. Now that's just parenthetical. The tactic extends into every area of life. Back in the War of Independence for Texas, the command was this. Shoot only at those who are wearing the brass buttons. Shoot only at those who are wearing the brass buttons. What they were saying was, they were saying the same thing. If you can smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Now, in every area of our life, the devil is after the leader of that organization. The higher you go, the more the shooting. And the larger you get, the stronger the attack. Why, when I was pastor of a little church in East Texas, had 19 members, nobody attacked me. The devil didn't attack me, didn't bother at all. But you put the become pastor of the largest church in America, you better remember what Harry Truman said, if you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. And but I'm simply saying that the larger you get, the stronger the attack, and the higher you go, the more the shooting. For example, Satan shoots more at the pastor than he does the layman. Satan shoots more at the deacon than he does the members. Satan shoots more at the large church than he does the small church. Satan shoots more at the fundamental church than he does the evangelical church, and more at the evangelical church than he does the liberal church. Satan shoots more at the principal than does the faculty. I'm simply saying, if you're principal of Hammond Baptist Grade School, Junior High, High School, the devil will shoot at you more than he'll shoot at the teachers under you. The devil shoots more at the preacher boy than the other students at the school. You mark it down. If you're a preacher and God's called you to preach and you've given your life to preach, you better get ready because the devil's after you more than any other student in the school. The devil shoots more at the faculty than the students. The devil shoots more at the college president than the professors. The devil shoots more at the professors than the students. The devil shoots more at the father than it does the mother. For every one mother that I hear that forsakes her family, I hear of 100 fathers who forsake their family. Why? If you're the head of the family, if you're the father in the household, then the devil is after you. He's trying to snipe the shepherd so the sheep will be scattered. The devil shoots more at the parent than it does the child. He shoots more at the Sunday school teacher than he does the members of the Sunday school class. He shoots more at the bus worker than he does at the bus rider. He shoots more at the senior in college than he does the freshman in college. Why? If he can get the bus captain, he'll get a lot of the bus riders. If he can get the teacher, he'll get a lot of the students. If he can get the senior, he'll get a lot of those that look up to those seniors. He shoots more at a college student in a Christian college than he does a high school student in a Christian high school. He shoots more at the coach than he does the team. He shoots more at the college student than he does at the teens back home. He shoots more at the leader than he does the follower. He shoots more at the president of the United States, and boy, he sure has been landing some big blows lately, than he does the citizens of our country. He shoots more at the big brother than he does the little brother. He shoots more at the oldest child than it does the younger children. Now you listen carefully. Whatever organization you belong to, he'll shoot more at the leader than he will the followers of the organization. He's trying to smite the shepherd so the sheep will be scattered. And he's doing the same thing he did in 1 Kings 22 and verse 31 when the king of Syria said, don't fight with the little, don't fight with the great, don't fight with the privates, don't fight with the corporals, don't fight with anybody, just shoot the king. If you can get the king, we can win the war and get Ramoth and Gilead. Now, I can tell you of case after case after case, and you're thinking of some right now, of case after case after case where the king has been shot and the followers have gone along. I'm thinking right now of a deacon who was shot. I don't mean he was shot with a gun. Many pastors had wanted to do that time and time again. If I had a gun, I would... let's go on here. But I remember a deacon in this church who the devil shot at and hit him and felled him. And that deacon took down probably 15 lay people with him. Now listen, if you're a deacon in this church, you're supposed to be here on Sunday morning. If you're a deacon in this church, you're supposed to be here on Sunday night. If you're a deacon in this church, you're supposed to be here on Wednesday night, and you promised before you ran for deacon you'd be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, you said for the house, I'm a deacon, and I don't come to church on Wednesday night. Should I resign the board? No, I'd get right with God and come to church on Wednesday night. That's what I'd do. I'm saying, you better watch it. The devil is more after you than he is the regular church member. I'm thinking now of a coach in our system here years ago. A certain coach, the devil shot him. And when that coach went down, several athletes fell with that coach. And I want to say this tonight. We have some coaches here. You don't understand what you are to those athletes that play for you. I'm saying you don't understand. You're their hero and you're their leader, and the devil is after. I said the devil is after you tonight. and you watch it carefully, and you be sure that you lead those young men astray, don't lead them astray, and that you lead them right, because the devil is shooting at the leader. But I'm thinking now of a college teacher, Hiles Anderson College, years ago. The devil shot that teacher, shot him down, and that college teacher took down with him dozens of students. Now you listen to me. If you're a teacher in Hiles Anderson College, you're somebody to those students. That man that spoke to us a while ago, Dr. Sam Sprunger, and the man that spoke last Sunday night, Dr. Carl Laurent, they're legendary at Hiles Anderson College. And these students, they love them and respect them and follow them. And if you stand up before a class at Hiles Anderson College, you ought to be the top person. I'm saying the devil is after you, and he knows if he can get you, he can get some students to go with you. I'm thinking right now of a college teacher at Hiles Anderson College years ago. The devil shot him down. He took 40 of our students with him. Only one of those students, as far as I know, that went with him is in the Lord's work today. I'm saying it's the devil's tactic, always the same. He said, shoot the king. Don't fight with the little people. Don't fight with the great people. Just shoot the king. If we can get the king, we can win the battle. I'm thinking now of a college staff member, one of the most respected men on our staff. A man, if you called his name, it'd be just exactly like it was when your name was called a while ago. The college students would cheer. He had a fanatical following, but the devil shot at him. And you listen to me now. The more popular you are, the devil's after you more than those that are not as popular as you are. And the devil's after you more than he is those students that work on your bus route. And he's after you more than he is those students you teach. And the devil's after you more than he is those teenagers that you lead. And the devil's after you more than those people that you visit. And the devil's after you more than he's after the choir. He's already gotten some of the choir. And the devil's after you more than he's after the rescue mission men. And the devil's after you more than he's after the bus workers. The devil's after you more than he's after those sailors back there. And he's after you more than he is the folks that are under you. And after you more than he is those juniors and those others that you lead. I'm saying if you've risen to a place of leadership, you better walk gingerly, because a booger man's trying to bring you down. And he knows that guy's talking about that man a while ago, the college man. Most of you know who I'm talking about. I'm not trying to hide anything tonight. I'm telling you, that man was shot at. The devil got him. I can tell you 17 students that came to me and told me, if he's not going to live for God, I'm not going to live for God. That man's out of the ministry. And at least 17 students that I know of left the school, and others were disenchanted with the Lord's work. I'm saying, if God has entrusted you with a place of responsibility in God's name, you put your armor, your shield up, and protect yourself. The devil is after you. I'm thinking tonight of a church of 1,000 people. It's down to 100 tonight because the devil shot down its pastor. I'm thinking of a church of over 2,000 that later folded, sold its buildings, not in existence tonight, because a pastor was shot down by the devil. I'm thinking tonight of a new 3,000-seat auditorium that a growing church built, and the devil shot down its pastor. And that building was never used by that church and sold to another organization, and never used because the devil shot down its pastor. Boy, let me tell you something. I hate the devil tonight with a passion. I hate the devil, the dirty, sorry, stinking rascal. I feel like an old country preacher in East Texas that got so mad at the devil, he started cussing him out. If I knew some cuss words, I'd use them tonight. Boy, tell me some cuss words. Quick. But I'm trying to say tonight, the dirty, stinking, rotten devil is after you, but if you fall, you will take down with you those under you. Shoot only at the king. Shoot only at the king. I'm thinking tonight of a nation, that nationwide ministry, and a worldwide ministry, folded because the devil got the king. Now, I'm not a charismatic. I could not be a charismatic. I'm not close to being a charismatic. I don't believe in the charismatic doctrine. But if somebody tell me tonight what's going on down in North Carolina near Charlotte, where Jim Baker and Tammy Faye's big amusement park was after Falwell quit sliding down the slide, would somebody tell me? I'll tell you, the place was sold to an amusement park and a secular company. Why? Because the devil shut down the king. I was down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I drove down a highway and left over here pointed to a certain ministry, a ministry of a famous evangelist. You know, I forgot his name all of a sudden. Jimmy Swaggart. And I was down there several years ago and saw that magnificent plant and a huge college that was headed by Jimmy Swaggart. I asked the pastor, drove me from the airport, I said, what are those buildings used for now? Now get this. Those buildings have been leased to the state of Louisiana. Those buildings that once housed thousands of students and that big auditorium that would take care of as many people almost as this building right here is just, is almost a haunted house. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the devil shot down Jimmy Swaggart. And I want to tell you, young preacher boy, the devil's after you. And I want to tell you, if you lead anybody, the devil's after you. And you better build your armor and hold it high. Come with me to a college in Arlington, Texas. Handful of students where hundreds used to be because the devil shot down the leader. Come with me to a big building in Pomona, California. On a highway there. Church used to run 3,000 in Sunday school. I preached there 12 consecutive years. Down to 100 people the last I heard. Down from 3,000 to 100. Why? Because the devil shot the king. Come with me tonight to a college almost destroyed. Down in the southeastern part of America. Get this. The 57-year-old college president ran off with a 19-year-old girl. Dr. Evans, be careful. With a face like yours, you have not much to worry about. I'm talking about a 57-year-old college president. Ran off with a 19-year-old student. I'm trying to tell you tonight, the devil is after you, and I never live a single week without finding somebody in a place of responsibility that was shot down by the devil, and the sheep are scattered. Now let us notice the type of arrows he uses. He has many in his quiver. He shot down Moses with the arrow of temper. He shot down Elijah with the arrow of fear. He shot down David with the arrow of sex. He shot down Saul with the arrow of pride. He shot down Noah with the arrow of liquor and nudity. He shot down Jacob with the arrow of deceit. He shot down Judas with the arrow of money. He shot down Lot with the arrow of greed. He shot down Solomon with the arrow of stupidity. He shot down Absalom with the arrow of disloyalty. He shot down Thomas with the arrow of doubt. He shot down Barnabas with the arrow of stubbornness. He shot down Abraham with the arrow of unbelief. He shot down Jeremiah with the arrow of discouragement. He shot down Aaron with the arrow of compromise. He shot down Achan with the arrow of covetousness. He shot down John Mark with the arrow of homesickness. He shot down Rehoboam with the arrow of bad advice. He shot down Demas with wilderness. He shot down Ananias and Sapphira with the arrow of lying. He shot down Esau with the arrow of pleasure. He shot down Paul with the arrow of inconsistency. And he's got a quiver full of arrows, and he's after you, and he knows your weakness and knows your strength. You better be careful, or you'll become an illustration in somebody's sermon someday. Now, notice this. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you up there in the balcony. I'm preaching to you. I have you in mind, too. Listen to me. Notice they usually fall to their strength, not their weakness. Elijah's strength was courage. He was felled with the arrow of fear. Moses' strength was weakness. He was brought down with the arrow of temper. David's strength was purity. He was brought down with the arrow of sex. Solomon's strength was wisdom. He was brought down with the arrow of stupidity. Noah's strength was a preacher of righteousness. He was brought down with the arrow of liquor and nudity. Saul's strength was humility.
he was brought down by the error of pride. Absalom's strength was faith. Abraham's strength was faith. He was brought down by the error of unbelief. Why? Because we guard our weaknesses and leave our strengths unguarded. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. I'm talking tonight to young men at Howells Anderson College with all the dreams and aspirations of a great ministry. I promise you, you'll write to be some men tonight who will write me letters like I've gotten in recent days. I'll never preach. I got right with God again, but I'll never preach because I've messed up my life. You better hear me, and you better hear me well. The devil's after every young man that walks inside the doors of Howells Anderson College. He's after you. He's after those of you who teach our young people in Hammond Baptist Grade School. And if you're a school teacher, let me tell you something. You're somebody. Man alive, a school teacher is somebody to a pupil. If you teach our students, you watch the way you live. And by the way, you folks that work for us, you're single. You're supposed to abide by the same rules when you date Howells Anderson College folks abide by. You know what I said? If you're 75 years old and single and going to somebody that's 85, you're supposed to have a chaperone on a date. I'm a little tired of a double standard. If you work here, you have no right to live any lower than the students at Howells Anderson College. Now, to the areas of the most vulnerability. Listen carefully. In Ephesians chapter 6, you have the armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, actually, in the armor, there are only four parts of the body that are covered. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. The loins girt with the girdle of truth. And the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now you listen to me. That means this. God knows where the devil is going to attack you. The devil will attack you first in your mind. And God says, cover your mind. What does that mean? That means you preacher boys, don't read too much stuff. Don't read Arthur Pink's book. And don't follow these hyper-Calvinism people. And don't follow these hyper-dispensational people. And quit trying to get so smart. Just preach the simple truths of God's Word. Don't get smart and try to be a theologian. Brother, just be an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preacher. The devil's after your mind. He's after your mind to get evil thoughts in your mind. He wants you to watch some dirty movie on television. He wants you to take a peek at a Playboy magazine. And by the way, the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times and all the rest of them have got just about as vulgar pictures as they tell me they have in Playboy magazine. I'm telling you, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You may not can preach like R.G. Lee. You may not can teach the Bible like John Rice, but you can be as pure in your mind as anybody is. Keep your mind clean. Now the devil says, cover your brain. The helmet of salvation. Second piece of armor the devil has, or God has, to resist the fiery darts of the devil is the breastplate. What's God saying? He's saying the devil will attack your mind, and then he will attack your heart. If he can't get you to think wrong, he'll get you not to be happy about the truth. And he'll say to you, I just don't believe these fellows ought to stand up and wave their Bibles in church. You think God told you that? You think God came along to you and said, criticize these fellows get excited because they're saved. Criticize these fellows that shouted a while ago while that man talked about his sins buried in the deepest sea. If you knew that man like I know him, you'd know that's the biggest mountain in the depths of the sea where his sins are buried. Ms. Hiles and I were in Maui, Hawaii. God has spoken to our hearts and called us there to the mission field. We're in Maui. We decided to take a submarine ride. And they took us down the bottom of the ocean. I looked over and I got happy. I saw my sins down there. A little mound about that high. I saw this big mountain like Pike's Peak. It had the word scoff on it. I wasn't surprised. You should see yours, buddy. I'm simply saying, keep your heart happy. Keep your shout. Keep your amen. Keep your praise the Lord. I promise you, if you'll keep happy and keep your amen, keep your shout, you'll never be a liberal. Did you ever see a liberal preacher set up a tent in a vacant lot? And have a revival meeting? No, they're doing what this church down here on Holman Avenue. They're having a play written by Cole Porter. I'd rather have a sermon written by the Apostle Paul. Church hadn't got any business having a Cole Porter play. Good night, get back to preaching again. Keep your shout. Keep your hallelujah. You ever hear a liberal get up and say, well, glory, the Bible's not so. Hallelujah, Jesus is not coming again. Praise God! I don't believe in the virgin birth. The reason they don't have church on Sunday night is because they've lost their joy. The devil has pierced their heart and taken their shout. The devil shoots first at the head. That's the first piece of armor. Second, the heart. The breastplate covers the heart. Number three, the loins. The loins. The devil's after you and after your purity. He's after your loins. Now, young people, you listen to me, and you listen well. I don't care if you're a 13-year-old junior high student or a 23-year-old college senior. You keep your lips to yourself. You keep your hands to yourself. When you walk down the aisle, young ladies, you look up at that young man and say to him, I've saved myself for you. I'm pure. I'm virgin. I'm clean. And young man, you look at her when you extend that arm and say to her, I've kept myself for you. Well, you stay for the house with the television and the internet. And by the way, you better watch out that internet. With television and internet and playboy philosophy, and all of the loose sex and the permissive society and the new morality, it's just impossible for a boy to stay pure. That is the devil's lie. When you place that kiss upon the lips of your bride, you make that your first kiss. Shoot. I made that statement through this little spell several years ago. Lady walked up to me, female, about 6'4". Her agent was bargaining with the Chicago Bears. She's going to play defensive tackle. She walked up to me and she said, oh, in all of my life, I've never heard anything like you. And I said, don't confess the sin of where you go to church to me. Confess it straight to God. She said, you remind me of the Piltdown man. And I said, you remind me of somebody who's lived that long where you knew him. She said, if you were my husband, I'd shoot you. I said, if you were my wife, I'd buy the gun and give it to you and load it. I'm sick and tired of our president living like an animal. And I'm sick and tired of our nation accepting it. Somebody ought to tell Mr. Clinton that perjury is not the only sin in the Bible. I said, the devil's after you. And he's after the king more than he's after the subjects. And he's after the coach more than he's after the team. And he's after the teacher more than he's after the class. And he's after the choir director more than he's after the choir. And he's after the president of the college more than he's after the faculty or students. And he's after the faculty and staff more than he's after the student body. And he's after the Sunday school teacher more than he is the Sunday school class members. And the devil will come to you, attack your mind. He can't get your mind wrong. He'll attack your heart. He can't get your heart. He'll attack your loins. Number four. He says, cover your feet.
cover your head, cover your heart, cover your loins, and cover your feet. Those are the only four pieces of armor mentioned in the armor of God. What does it mean? It means keep on soul winning. Keep on witnessing. Keep on telling folks about Jesus. Keep on being a nut. Keep on being a fanatic. Keep on passing out your tracts. You preacher boys, keep on preaching on a street corner. I'll tell this across the country. Don't know if I ever told you here or not. Every once in a while, I go to Chicago and just preach in a tavern. I walk in by myself, walk up to the tavern keeper, and say, I want to say a few words. They always say the same thing. What about? I say, about religion. Why, he says, sure, go ahead. I'm a Catholic myself. I was standing up on a bar preaching about 5 years ago. Let them go. About 40 people out there or so in the tavern. One old drunk stands up back in the back. He says, hey, fellas, you listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about. That's my pastor. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's just keep on talking about Jesus more and more. The devil's after you. If you're the leader, he's after you more than the follower. He's after your mind. He's after your heart. He's after your loins. And he's after your feet. Now, I promise you this. Keep your mind clean and keep your heart happy. And keep your loins pure, and keep your feet going after sinners. I'll promise you, you'll never be a casualty in the battle. They said, just shoot the king. Just bring the king down. And sure enough, one of them shot him. Between the harnesses, shot him fatally. And the king was buried. And the Bible says every man went back to his own city and his own house. Everybody here leads somebody. Everybody here is looked up to by somebody. And those people that look up to you will fall, many of them, if you fall. Shoot only the king. Would you bow your heads, please?